Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing access control in the COVID-19 era for multifamily properties. And joining me today by phone is a frequent guest, Robert Galdon, who is the director of multifamily channel strategy at Allegion. Welcome today, Robert.
Hi, Paul. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. And we were just talking before we went on the air a little bit about the strange time we're in, right in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic. And we've done several shows, several episodes in the past several months on what's going on in multifamily. And this is just another layer of what has to be considered as far as access control. And how do you handle that? How do you use that to your advantage in multifamily, as well as you know, how to make sure that it's doing what it needs to do properly? So let's kind of jump in. You know, with the pandemic that's going on right now, and let me give a little background on what my knowledge base is when it comes to this kind of technology. I saw for the last several years, when I would go to a National Apartment Association show or go to some of the state or local or regional conventions, when they would have exhibitors there, they would have this kind of technology. And when I would talk to people in the industry, I said, "Oh yeah, that's great. We're not there yet. You know, it's a ways down the road for us to be able to adopt as far as the operators in the industry." But yet, with what's been going on with the pandemic, more multifamily owners and operators are embracing access control for a specific reason having to do with the pandemic. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's most certainly concerning, you know, the pandemic and the pressures it's putting on owners and operators, as well as developers. But I would say if there's a silver lining to what we're seeing from a technology perspective, is there is a move and a push towards adopting technologies that allow you to run your building more efficiently, to help with either touchless solutions or you know, social distancing type applications. So access control does fit right in the middle of that, whether you're talking about the ability to, you know, just secure your perimeter and allow for a more touchless pathway into the building, whether you talk about purposeful planning and trying to create pathways that allow touchless all the way to the resident unit, whether you're talking about self-tour and the ability to allow, you know, potential customers into your building and to see it, all that revolves around a plan and access control and how to utilize that from the basics, right? How do you let someone into the perimeter of the building? How do you ultimately get someone maybe into a residence unit? You know, so there's a lot of conversations, a lot of planning. I'm involved in quite a few industry-wide things that revolve around all of those questions. And I think a good place to start maybe is around the touchless solution, right? Because I think that was the first thing that really kind of jumped into, you know, what do we need to do in this environment? Obviously, there's concerns about, you know, germs and viruses spreading because you have to touch a door handle. I mean, you know, you have to touch a door to get in and out of a building and to in and out of a residence. So a lot of conversations around touchless solutions and how to apply them, and is it feasible in multifamily? So we've talked a lot to various customers. I've been actually involved in RITA and some other things around what does this really mean for the industry.
What's the general feeling right now as far as of what you're finding out there amongst the people that would ultimately be the end users? I know a lot of this, as you mentioned, goes the access control is done on the development side in a new property, and then there's also retrofitting older properties. What kind of feedback are you getting right now?
Yeah, I think there's a couple different things. From the owners and operators, they're looking at it from how do we maximize our efficiency? How do we protect our residents? How do we continue our business operations? And so looking at it from that perspective, they're very eager to learn. And I think there are a lot of questions that kind of open up, some opportunities for adoption of technology, as well as in some cases, and we can discuss some of those today, there's low tech or no tech solutions that are out there as well. Just simple cleaning practices to make sure that you're understanding where your high traffic areas are and how to properly clean those, high touch areas is a big first step. But I think there has been a general, everything from a general curiosity, how do we use this access control technology? What's involved in it? What are the steps? What is my pathway to achieving this? To full blown, I want to be able to implement this for my residents today to allow for a safer environment, right? Because I think everybody's number one concern, at least from what I'm seeing, is the well-being of the resident. Obviously, a happy resident, an efficient business, and then the industry continues to push forward. So a lot of questions around that. And there are some challenges, right? Securing a perimeter that has access control today and allowing it to be, for example, a touchless door, you can add technology to that door to allow that to happen. But creating a true touchless environment throughout the entire building is probably not feasible. And mm-hmm. So I tend to steer that conversation more towards, okay, let's look at maybe low touch solutions, right? So we minimize the amount of touches required in certain areas, like in common areas or entrance through your perimeter. But to achieve full touchless across the board, I think a lot of the conversations have matured away from that just because, the expense is far too great.
When you're thinking about access control prior to the pandemic, obviously you're thinking about securing areas so that you don't have bad things happen regarding break-ins or people being someplace that they're not supposed to be for maybe nefarious reasons. But with the pandemic now, are some of the thoughts behind access control as it relates to the pandemic try to keep people safe, segmented into certain areas so that you have clean areas that are not that are not potentially infected or exposed to somebody who may or may not have COVID? I mean, is that something that access control is being used for now?
Yeah, we've heard quite a bit about that as well, using the data from the access control system, for example, to better understand the flow of people throughout your facilities. If you have online systems, the ability to pull that data and say, these are high use areas. So let's understand then what we need to do from a cleaning protocol to ensure the residents and our staff are safe, right? And to make sure that this area is being cleaned multiple times a day. We're seeing things along the lines of additional technology that can be supplemented from a people counter perspective. So imagine social distancing protocols in a smaller room, like a package room, right? Maybe you only want to have one or two people allowed in a room at a time to allow you to really kind of manage that social distancing, or a gym or a facility. So access control from a pure perspective, from a software perspective, can start to provide those feeds and inputs, whether it's native to the software today, whether those companies are starting to build out modules, and we're seeing a lot of companies, especially in the prop tech side of this business, really react to this and build out modules that allow for this, or whether you're supplementing that technology with even a third-party technology that allows you to better graphically understand what's going on in your real-time environment. Those things are definitely coming to the forefront. And I think that's all around, again, resident safety, staff safetiness, and the ability to maintain the continuity of your business in this environment, which is really, really challenging. Just because we have a global pandemic going on doesn't mean that people don't need housing, doesn't mean that people aren't moving in and out, and doesn't mean you don't want to be able to run your business really efficiently. So both understanding the flow of people into your building, understanding the priority of flow, you know, maybe we want to make sure that our residents and staff have first priority, and then we take a look at what we want to do for visitors and guests. So all of these things are really coming together, and we're seeing, you know, I'm seeing at least amongst our partners in, on the software side, really some great ideas and innovation around how do we better utilize some of the systems that are out there today, and capitalize on that technology to allow us to better inform the operators of how to manage their buildings.
So, you know, you mentioned a little bit about the touchless aspects of it, where a building cannot be totally touchless at this point. But obviously, there's going to be hardware and handles and things like that that will be touched. What are you seeing as far as recommendations on how to properly sanitize and clean that? Because some of the technology that's in place today is something you don't want to clean in an incorrect way that can possibly damage that hardware.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there is a guideline that all manufacturers have out there as far as cleaning and disinfecting that hardware. The last thing you want to do is compromise that hardware from a basic finish perspective all the way to compromising perhaps the electronics. You know, simple, mild solutions from cleaning. Obviously, the CDC recommends cleaning and then disinfecting. Cleaning obviously allows you to, you know, really optimize your disinfecting. So cleaning is your first step and make sure you minimize the amount of bugs or viruses that are on the service. And then, you know, again, general guidelines around the CDC website around disinfecting hard surfaces. There's a simple bleach solution. But what you really don't want to use is really caustic stuff that will, you know, prematurely wear your hardware, prematurely wear on the electronics. It's a simple wipe versus spraying, you know, materials onto these things. So, you know, a good diligence plan, obviously educating your teams that are doing the cleaning and disinfecting and educating your residents on what they want to be able to use to clean and disinfect, maybe even their resident unit handles is a good first step. Because what you don't want to do, you know, these are, in the, especially the electronic stuff, they're expensive locks. These are expensive pieces of equipment. You don't want to prematurely wear those things.
All right. Well, we are going to be back with more on this. We're actually going to talk about some of the pain points that properties have when it comes to this. Right after these messages, you are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters. We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters. We're discussing the topic of access control in the COVID-19 era for multifamily properties. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today by phone is Robert Galdon, Director of Multifamily Channel Strategy at Allegion. Before we jump back into the discussion, I do want to let our listeners know that if you'd like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Robert, I mentioned before we left the last segment that we were going to discuss some of the pain points of adopting what's going on with adopting this access control and access control in general. What have you found are some of the pain points that you're hearing about?
Yeah, so from a high level, you know, part of the pain points that we're seeing is obviously the ability to have one system work congruently together, right? So your perimeter system generally is segregated from your resident door system, for example, if you adopted them at different times. We are seeing a merging of that, and there's a lot of benefits when you start to see how these systems come together under, you know, one umbrella of technology. Take, for example, self-tour, right? In today's environment, you know, operators still need to be able to show the apartment, show the building. You still want people to come on in. And under a, you know, a uniformed technology plan, and it doesn't have to be one software company or one system that provides all of this, although there are options out there that allow for that as well. But if you have technologies and an ecosystem of technologies that work together, you can enable things like self-tour, right? So there's two ways to show your apartment in today's environment. One would be, you know, you can do a virtual tour, right? Take a camera, set it up inside the apartment and take a lot of video and photographs and allow someone to virtually tour it from the safety of their current dwelling. Or two, and we still see a big push for residents that still want to visit the property. They want to be able to see the property. They want to be able to come on out and see the apartment and potentially, you know, interact in some way. And self-tour is really kind of grown up in that space. The problem or the pain point about implementing self-tour is making sure that you have a seamless experience from issuing a credential that allows a resident to gain access to the building, to gain access to certain amenities. Maybe you want them to see the gym, for example, or some of the social areas. And then obviously then gaining access to the resident unit and touring that as well. And so as we mature as an industry, you know, the hardware is all there, right? The resident lock is, there's smart locks out there that allow for this. The perimeter locks and access control systems are there that allow for this. It's really coupling all of this technology together from a software perspective. And then I think the big game changer ends up being the ability to issue mobile credentials that allow a guest, if you will, or a prospective customer to receive that virtual credential and then seamlessly move throughout the building. And what we really have seen in this environment that COVID has really kind of accelerated is the need for a self-tour application to become a reality. And there are multiple companies stepping up to the plate and taking that software challenge and really pulling together either a holistic solution under one umbrella or pulling together partnerships that allow for that to happen. But it's a really interesting way that, you know, prior to COVID, self-tour was maybe we'll see. It seems a little futuristic. It's one of the hottest topics today, and it is a pain point that people are trying to solve, right? Because it drives that business, and the industry continues to move forward despite the fact that we're under this pandemic.
Tell me a little bit. I see the term from time to time, access with insights. What does that mean? And how can that be leveraged in the multifamily environment?
So I'm assuming you're talking about being able to take a look at what's going on from a data perspective and understand what's going on in the environment. Is that the term you're referring to, access
with insights? Yes, yes.
Yeah, so again, there's some really great data that's coming out of these systems, especially when they start to work congruently together. And you'll be able to start to see different things that are going on. And I'll give you a great example. You know, if you're a resident and you want to get down to the gym and maybe you want to go work out this afternoon and nothing worse than getting all dressed up, going down to the gym and finding that all the treadmills are occupied and you can't get onto the treadmill and you know, maybe you've lost your motivation to decide to go eat out or something along those lines. Well, in the COVID environment, maybe there's some social distancing aspects that have to be applied in that same vein, right? So the ability to understand via the technology, the access with insights, the ability to understand, you know, is a room occupied? Is a room at capacity? The ability to then in that app, so if we go back into that same type of scenario, before I get dressed and motivated to go down to the gym, maybe I can check the app and see, is the gym occupied and is it full at this point in time, right? If you keep that social distancing concept in mind, right? So the ability to use this data to better manage not only the experience that your resident has, but also to help you understand, you know, where are the areas throughout the day that are, for example, being utilized quite a bit, right? Are those areas that we need to make sure we're deploying our cleaning staff to go further sanitize maybe two or three times a day versus once a day? The ability to understand that sanitation crews have been in that area, right? So you can do audit logs and the ability to understand if our cleaning crew did go into, you know, the package room and clean it at the scheduled hour. Restrooms are a huge concern around that perspective too. So when you add access control, when you add that software component, you start to gain additional insights when you start to look at the data. And that's where I think it's really interesting moving forward. The pandemic's opening up a lot of questions around what else can we use this data for? And the simple answer would be, where are the high traffic areas? Where do we need to deploy additional resources to make sure that we're managing those high traffic areas properly? And how do we make sure that the environment is safe? Beyond that, as we move into the future, there may be other ways that we can utilize that data as well.
You know, I'm wondering, what are you seeing out there if anybody is taking the access control and some of the benefits that it provides? Are they able to monetize this from the standpoint of creating revenue for the property by implementing these types of things?
Sure. So if you think about, you know, on the broad level, what you're trying to achieve, or what I'd like to see achieved in multifamily moving forward, is really this concept of seamless access, right? The ability for a resident or a property manager or their staff, and then eventually a guest, to seamlessly access an environment and move throughout the environment, you know, seamlessly without any type of effort. Obviously, you have to have rules of engagement and what that means for each type of user. But if you can create a seamless environment, you start to create use cases that allow for, you know, those monetization concepts and applications, right? And so if I can create an environment that allows for people to enter the building, obviously with purpose, but people to enter the building and deliver services, then there are chances to monetize on top of that. If you think about, you know, today, DoorDash and these delivery services from a food perspective, you know, the ability to add different services and allow those service providers to gain access and you know, maybe gain access simply to part of the building seamlessly because they have the proper mobile credential to allow them to deliver, you know, food to a certain area. In fact, I read a really smart article the other day that said, hey, with all this food delivery that's going on right now in the multifamily environment, you know, drivers and delivery people may be confused on where do they leave the food and where do you want them as a delivery service to enter and where do you want them to go within your building, right? And one of the simple solutions I thought, which was a great way to apply, you know, again, very simple concept to this, is create a food delivery area, and that way the driver can leave the food on a dedicated surface table room and the resident's notified and they can come down and pick it up. But as you move forward and as we get beyond the pandemic, that seamless access will allow for different things, right? The ability for additional services delivered all the way up to the resident unit, for example, like dry cleaning services or, you know, pre-negotiated pet sitting services or food delivery services to the refrigerator. All of these can be added value services that can also be monetized over time. So while we're looking at the pandemic forcing more technology adoption, the byproduct of that adoption will give operators some additional service revenue that I think, you know, become the next amenity state that they can offer to their customers.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a break right here and going to be back with our next segment of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters. Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of access control in the COVID-19 era for multifamily properties. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today by phone is Robert Galdin, Director of Multifamily Channel Strategy at Allegiant. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S., PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent. Allegiant, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management, and CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Robert, you know, we've talked a little bit in the first two segments about different types of situations that you've seen that are happening when it comes to access control with COVID-19. But there are a lot of options, or several options out there for access control. And we've talked a little bit about touchless options, which are very popular now, obviously, with the pandemic. Talk a little about those options and what you see as far as where they're best used.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's a big call for anything that looks like touchless technology today in multifamily, whether you're talking about the adoption of additional touchless plumbing, you know, in your restrooms and touchless operators and things along those lines. You could today, theoretically, I guess, create a complete touchless environment when it comes to doors and access control in multifamily. The problem really is not so much the technology. The problem ends up being really the cost to implement and the amount of materials that you need to make a touchless door go. And so let's just kind of start there for a second. The real issue around touchless around a door is you need the ability to open and close that door. So there's got to be some automatic operator that allows for that door to open. Think about if you've ever been to a mall or to a hospital where they've got an ADA compliant, crash pad, those doors open up automatically. Well, the thing that's actually opening and closing that door is generally an automatic operator. Beyond that, then you have to have code compliant hardware. So whether that door is a locking door or not a locking door, whether that door is an exit door or not, you need to make sure that your physical locking mechanical hardware interacts seamlessly with that actuator or that auto operator. Then you need some type of actuator, right? And again, you've seen them in malls before, you know, the big round button where you push it and the door starts to open. You need some way for the door to understand, hey, I'm supposed to open now, and then it's safe to close. If you have access control on top of that, then you need a card reader and then the actual system and the credentials. So a lot of materials involved in making a door truly touchless. Around the perimeter, for the most part, what we've seen in multifamily, around the perimeter, generally, all you need to really add is that automatic operator and then either an actuator or tie that into your access control system. And so it is feasible to create touchless environments or touchless doors around most perimeter systems. But once you get up into the resident units, really, that's where it's not feasible, right? To have 200 resident units and 200 auto operators, I mean, just the cost potential becomes pretty intensive, and then you have all the labor to do that. And so where we've really seen a movement is creating purposeful paths, right? Where are the areas within my building that are maybe high touch and high use areas? So main entrance to the elevator, or main entrance to the package room to the elevator, or you know, one of the garage entrances, and maybe some thoughtful design around, okay, if these are the areas that are the most used, the most common high-touch areas, can we make those, you know, low-touch and start to implement maybe, you know, that auto operator and make it a truly touchless environment? From there, what's really great about where technology is going is the ability to make all of that happen, for example, within an application. So, you know, theoretically, you can walk up to the main entrance, you can open up your app on your phone, you can engage that application to open that front door, walk through the front door, walk to the package room, hit the app for unlocking the package room, enter the package room, be able to receive your package, walk out of the package room, go to the elevator, call the elevator, and then actually tell the elevator from within the app what floor you'd like to go to. All of that can happen today, and that's where we're seeing this maturity of technology and this amazing kind of melding of both access control, you know, prop tech software, you know, the elevator guys are getting involved as well, and then the application that allows for this, you know, purposeful path to say, hey, if we want to achieve a low or no touch environment all the way up to almost, you know, the resident unit, that is very achievable today. And that's where I think a lot of these conversations are starting to go.
Are you seeing most of these conversations occur on properties that haven't come out of the ground yet? They're talking about developing it, or are there existing properties that are going to the extent to do this thoughtful design that you mentioned?
Both. We're actually seeing both, and we're seeing it obviously from the new construction side, but we're also seeing that conversation and implementation happen on the, you know, the retrofit side as well. You know, as we continue to move forward, there's quite a bit of curiosity around, okay, what does it take to make this door? If I already have electronic access control on my perimeter main entrance, what does it take to make that a you know, a touchless solution. And so quite a bit of conversation around that and implementation around that. The real question then becomes, okay, if we're going to create a purposeful path and allow a resident or a staff member to seamlessly access different parts of the building with making it little to no touch, that's where it becomes more around, you know, what do I need to do now? What can I reuse in my ecosystem that allow me to do this? And then what do I need to use to implement this over time? And I think that's the real key to this, Paul. There are things you can do today, obviously, that are high tech, and you may want to implement that into your budget, time frame to allow you to implement things over time. And then there are low tech things, you know, everything, from cleaning more often to just little tool devices that allow you to, you know, it's almost like a little key ring type device that you can keep in your pocket that allow you to engage with the door and open and close it without actually physically touching it. We've seen other devices out there. We actually manufacture some of them that are arm pulls or foot pull that allow you to open a door, you know, using your elbow or using your foot rather than using your hand where, you know, CDC says most of the germs and viruses live. So we're seeing both low-tech applications come to the forefront as well as high-tech applications. And I think that's where the healthy conversation needs to go is what can I do today to continue to, you know, create an environment that is safe for my residents and my staff as well as implement the technology, whether it is high-tech or low-tech, against the budget that allow me to continue to move forward within this, you know, unfortunate pandemic era.
We've got a couple of minutes left in this segment. I just wanted to ask you, as you were talking about all the ways that you could utilize this technology, if somebody was planning to do something on an existing property or so forth, how do they find the expertise out there to be able to help them to do this thoughtful and purposeful design to make sure that they're getting the best out of the products that are available?
Yeah, so we've seen a lot of the various manufacturers of hardware, the door hardware itself, step up to the plate, and you know we have various resources within our own company and sales consultants that'd be more than happy to assist with that, and architectural representations that help. You know, everyone from the architect and the spec writer down through the implementation of the integrator better understand what those tools are. We've also seen part of the industry from a prop tech perspective start to gather and pull together these manufacturing resources and say, how do we pull this together and move forward? You know, I think your best first step is if you have an integrator or someone that works with you from a property perspective around the common areas is to ask them to pull in, you know, the manufacturing resources and really have that round table and better understand what you're trying to achieve. And I think that's a good first step. But I've definitely seen the manufacturing side of the world really step up and say, hey, we can help consult on this as well as deliver information to your trusted partners.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and stop this episode here because I don't want to get started on something and have to cut it short. But we're going to be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters. Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of access control in the COVID-19 era for multifamily properties. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today by phone is Robert Galdon, Director of Multifamily Channel Strategy at Allegion. And Robert, we've talked a lot about the different types of technologies that are available and what the COVID-19 pandemic is, how the owners and operators and developers are are thinking about this type of technology as it relates to not just the needs before the pandemic, but with the pandemic. But some of this can have a cost. I mean, obviously it has a cost, but some of it can be quite costly if they look at it. What are you seeing out there, and what do you recommend as far as when someone is thinking about doing something like getting access control really put into place on their property?
Yeah, Paul, we see a lot of questions around, you know, how do I put this all together, and what steps, you know, should I kind of follow, or how do I implement a technology solution over time? Because I think that's the important portion of it. We know so much of the multifamily segment today is just still even making that move from mechanical to electronic adoption. So that's where it really starts. And while you may have some type of perimeter solution, whether it's an intercom system or maybe even a basic access control system around the perimeter, most operators don't have electronics, for example, at the resident door. So where we really, you know, suggest people to start is take a look at that migration path. What's it going to take to move from mechanical keys to electronics? Because you pick up a couple different things. You pick up efficiency from a key management perspective. When you move to electronics, the distribution of credentials and keys is a lot more efficient. You don't have to, for example, rekey every time someone moves in, moves out. You have audit capabilities. And when you start to make that first step from mechanical to electronics, it's the very first step that enables that remote access, that enables the ability to make either low-touch or no-touch type solutions, the ability to downstream integrate some experiences via apps. So for us, we generally, you know, that's our starting point. How do we help you migrate from what is traditionally mechanical solutions to electronic solutions, and understanding what that migration path looks like, whether you're doing the entire building or whether you're doing just the resident doors and subsets of those buildings because you already have something else in play around the perimeter. After that, the next thing we generally consult on is around, you know, what's your credential strategy? And if you are starting from scratch or you're adding to your system today, it's a great opportunity to make sure that you're ensuring you're using really protective credentials, right? So are you using smart credentials around your facilities because you want to ensure, you know, from a cyber perspective, that you're using the best technology from a security plan. But if you're also starting from a move forward perspective, you really want to take a look at what hardware and software allows you to get to a mobile credential, right? That mobile credential is the key to opening up so many different applications downstream, and it allows for a much more flexible environment, and it really brings in that seamless environment that we were talking about before. And so much of this industry is gravitating towards mobile applications, whether you're talking about the resident being able to pay rent from a mobile application, whether you're talking about communicating to a resident via text messaging in a mobile application. You know, why not make sure that your access control and your ability to move throughout the property also is part of that mobile application? So look at those type things from a credential strategy. So after electronic adoption, then understand what you want to do from a credential strategy. Then we can start to talk about, okay, as your technology starts to really grow, what is it you're looking for from a platform perspective? So our advice there is look at integrated platforms, right? Look at those partners in the software side, on the prop tech side, or the physical access control side that have ecosystems of technology partners, right? Or that have that holistic integrated platform that allow for you to efficiently run what you want within that building. Whether you are talking about seamless access and the ability for a resident to use an app to gain access to the building, to gain access to your amenities, to gain access to their resident, whether you're talking about the ability to schedule things within that building, right? Access control can help you know, utilize the schedule to make sure you can reserve an amenity or reserve a certain room, right? So now you're really talking about what do you want your software layer to do, and how do you want all of these things to come together? And then finally, that's when you start to think about what are the experiences we want to have our residents really gain here, right? The ability to offer those service amenities we talked about, right? Whether it's, you know, pet sitting services, whether you're talking about, you know, value-added services like grocery delivery. These things are all now available because you've tied together, you know, an electronic lock that makes access really seamless with a mobile credential, which makes distribution of those credentials or revoking those credentials really easy. And then the software systems that tie all of this together that make it very easy on your owner operator, right? And that's what we're looking for. And that's where we're seeing this industry really move forward beyond some of the other industries, is the fact that these software systems, the hardware, the applications, they're all coming together in an industry that's moving forward with purpose. And you know, from a technology perspective, it's great to see, because at the end of the day, I think these are things that will, with the current generation and the next generation resident coming up, these are things that are going to not only attract these residents, but it's going to help retain these residents into these spaces and make their lives, you know, that much more seamless around access control.
I'm curious on some of the electronic aspects of the access control. Is it tied to having to have internet, or is it completely independent of internet?
So we've seen two things, but the industry, for the most part, as we start at that early adoption phase, right, mechanical to electronics, we've seen offline systems. And in fact, a lot of the systems today, especially around the resident unit, is offline. So you don't have to have internet connectivity and real-time connectivity and all that infrastructure to make those first steps. You can definitely make this a phased approach. And so the ability to run your locks in an offline mode, you are sacrificing some of that real-time data, right, and some of the abilities to manage your locks in real time, but you are making those first steps forward. And what we are seeing, though, is I see downstream, I see as more of these applications and use cases come to life, I am seeing more of a use case around how do we get real-time connectivity throughout the building, whether that's Wi-Fi throughout the building, or you take advantage of other infrastructures like cell phone technology, right? So both the industry as well as the operators are wrestling with how do we make communications more real-time, both at the unit as well as around the perimeter, as well as within the device itself. So there is a constant move forward towards what I would see one day being all online, but today it's not necessarily required. You can make those first two or three steps easily in a mixed environment where, for example, the resident unit locks may be offline, but the perimeter unit or the perimeter system is online. And then as you know, the technology continues to improve, as dedicated infrastructures or what distributed Wi-Fi start to become more a standard in multifamily, then I can see it moving towards more of an online environment, but not necessarily required at this point in time.
One of the things that we've heard a lot about in the multifamily industry is the impending 5K, you know, from the internet standpoint, that this is all coming into place. It's going to be, you know, everything's going to be changing to that. Are you hearing conversations at all about making sure that the access control and the software and so forth is going to be compatible with that when that happens?
I'll probably zoom out a little bit. I would agree. We hear a lot about 5K. We also hear a lot about different technologies from a communication path today. You know, some of the terms that you may be familiar with are Zigbee or Z-Wave, BLE or Bluetooth Low Energy. You may have heard of things like, you know, LoRa, and obviously everyone's heard of Wi-Fi. But I think that's the challenge. There are so many different communication pathways, and each one of them may be good for a specific use case. Maybe some of them in the future will be good for all types of use cases. But the ability to manage that communication path and the ability to manage your expectations around hardware, for example, are really important. So one of the things that the locking manufacturers have found out is in commercial applications, Bluetooth Low Energy or BLE communications on smart locks is really a great standard because it saves your battery life on that lock, right? No one wants to have to go out and change batteries every 3 or 4 months because the communication device is drawing so much energy out of it. So we do see a lot of conversations. There are, you know, different groups working together at understanding what it means from a 5K perspective or a distributed Wi-Fi perspective. But I think at the end of the day, when you look at it, it's understanding what the communication plan is going to be in place that allows this industry to move forward and take advantage of things like 5K, maybe to various devices and sensors throughout the building, but also seamlessly interacting with maybe a BLE device or maybe a Wi-Fi device. And I think that's where it all comes together at the application layer, right? And where we're seeing these software developers get together and understand that. I think the other thing, Paul, to keep in mind is it's never too late or maybe never too early to start asking, what does this mean from a cyber perspective? Because as we adopt more technology, you also want to make sure you're understanding what is it from a cyber protocol perspective that you're doing to enhance the security around this layer, right? So much of these devices are based on, you know, some type of connectivity, whether it's offline or online, and understanding what that means from a cyber layer is going to be really, really important, right? And so generally, when we talk to various operators or owners or help consult, we also want to make sure that they're asking those questions, because that's just as important as the rest of it. It's maybe a new portion, maybe a little bit scary for some owners and operators if they've never jumped into the cyber side. But even if you just start asking the questions and getting the answers back from your partners, you'll gain a better appreciation for what people are doing proactively on the cyber side to enable better security, because that's where technology is going.
All right, well, we could talk a lot more about this, but we're coming to the end of the segment, and I wanted to kind of transition and let you let our listeners know a little bit about Allegion, and if they need to get in touch with someone about this type of access control and they want to get in touch with you guys, what's the best way to do that?
Sure. So Allegion, as some of you guys know, or many of you know, is a parent company to some brands that I know you guys definitely know about, like the Schlage-Lock company, Von Duprin, which are exit device, LCN, which are those closers and those auto operators that we talked about, as well as a number of other fire and life safety devices that we manufacture for both the multifamily world as well as commercial and residential world. For us, the easiest way to find us is really just go onto Google and Google Allegion, which is A-L-L-E-G-I-O-N, and multifamily. If you do those two things, you'll land right on our multifamily webpage. You'll find a number of documents on there that help explain some of the things that we've talked about today, from basic mechanical to electronic adoption, our solutions in this space, as well as some use cases and who our partners are from a software perspective. So, Paul, as always, it's been a pleasure jumping on the call today and discussing these topics. Hopefully the next time we get together, we won't be in a pandemic and we can talk about some other things around the industry.
Yeah, it's really amazing how this pandemic has changed the dialogue and the discussions that we've got in this industry. But the industry is essential, and we've got to go on, and we've got to deal with it. So it's great always having you on, Robert. You bring a wealth of knowledge about this topic, and I'm sure we'll have you back on again soon. But thanks so much for being on today, and I do want to let our listeners know that we'll be back next week with another great topic and our panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.